4:36, it is downtown, live at Seasons Main Street in Bangor, at our Quality Jewelers broadcast studios. Rich Kimball here. Bruce Pratt joins us for Sports Lit 101, and we're joined on the G&M Family Market telephone line by Kevin J. Hayes. He's the author of a wonderful book we've talked about a couple of times here on the show, The Two-Wheeled World of George B. Fair. Kevin, thank you so much for making time for us this afternoon. Absolutely love the book.
Great. It's good to hear.
Yeah, this is Bruce, Kevin. I loved it for a lot of reasons, and I only talk about books I like, but my wife got so tired of me talking about how much I like this book. She kept saying, okay, I'll read it. But what I find so wonderful, Rich and I are both fans of history. I grew up in Connecticut, not far from this area. Your ability to make history this interesting, I think, is a testament to your writing. I mean, because this is well-researched. You know everything about George that probably anybody knows. But I just love the way that you wrote it. Was this a book that sort of helped, sort of wrote itself in a sense because you so loved the story?
Well, it really is. I mean, it's something that I can relate to. I mean, I've taken the bicycle tours myself, and as it turns out, bicycle touring in 1886 is not much different than bicycle touring in 1986, and so I could very much relate to the story.
Yeah,
something else that really made it easy to write or made it fun to write is that George Thayer, like so many bicycles, long-distance bicyclists, was obsessed with food, and he often wrote about food. And you know, that's something that I've always been interested in trying to recapture the material culture of the times in which these historical events occurred.
Yeah, one of the things I think that I found so fascinating is that I could have grown up, have ridden Columbia bikes, have been, you know, of an age where I should have probably known something about him. But he was, to me, a completely unknown figure. First of all, how did you discover him? And then could you sort of tell the listeners a little bit about his career path?
Okay. Well, I found out about George Thayer when I was researching an earlier book of mine. I wrote another bicycle book called An American Cycling Odyssey, and that's a similar book about a guy who rode his high-wheel bicycle across the country in 1887. His name was George Nellis. And so Thayer's name came up a couple of times in my research, and I grew anxious to learn more about him, and that's when I started getting interested in him.
Kevin, of all the adventures that George Thayer had on his journey, what were a couple of them that were most surprising to you?
Well, one of the things that I noticed, you know, since I mentioned this other guy, Nellis, and Nellis was very focused, and he was disappointed with himself if he didn't ride more than 10 hours a day, and he didn't make any forward progress by hitching a ride or taking a train. And Thayer was much more laid back, and he would take the train when he wanted. He would hitch a ride when he wanted. I mean, he was very, very sociable. And so, you know, he was always had time to sit and talk to people that he met along the way. One of the interesting things is that the guy he started to travel with in Denver, and they traveled together for quite a long time, but then they eventually split ways, and Thayer was very much attuned to nature and very had very a lot of sympathy with the animals and creatures that he met along the way, and this other guy wasn't, and that's what finally caused them to split.
But Thayer, he's an interesting guy, comes from basically modest but certainly not impoverished background, and he ends up, after all of his adventures as a writer and cycling around Europe and over the Alps and over the White Mountains, like, he ends up in the law. Can you sort of explain the transition from the guy who's trying to get a job writing for the Hartford Courant to a fairly prominent Connecticut attorney?
Well, he, in his journalistic career, he ended up being a court reporter for the Hartford Courant, and that's what got him into the interested in the law, because he had to go sit in the court all day every day as part of his responsibilities as a newspaper reporter. And so you know, somebody suggested to him, hey, you know, why don't you get your law degree and become a lawyer? And he was 40 or almost 40 by this time, but you know, that's one of the things that I find most amazing about his story, is that he never let age deter him from anything. You know, you know, if he was 40 years old and felt like going to law school, then he went to law school. And even later on in the story, when he tried so hard to get into the Army when he was 60.
60, yeah. Now, one of the things that I think I really like you to explain to our audience is the kind of bike that he rode across the country in the 1880s, with no chain, with the tiny back wheel, with the front high wheel. How much more difficult was that to ride than the bikes we're riding today?
Well, it wasn't that much more difficult to ride. I think the difficult part is getting off.
Right. But he had unique ways of doing
that. Yes, he did.
I used to work at a bike shop, and the first bike shop I worked at, we had one of those high wheel bicycles. It was like our shop icon. And of course, the owner forbid us from ever riding it. So whenever he went home, and we stayed around shop, and then we went out to ride it.
And could you dismount that way?
I mean, what you have to do to dismount the thing is you have to, you know, because it's pedaling all the time. There's no coasting here. And so you have to take your feet off the pedals and put one foot on the back. There's a peg on the back frame, and then lift yourself backwards off the back of the saddle and dismount that way. Now, something that that Thayer was a whiz at, and something I never tried on a high wheel bicycle was he used to coast. Like I said, these things didn't coast like modern bicycles, and so the only way to coast is that if you're going downhill, you threw your legs over the handlebars. And you just kind of tilted, put your butt on the back of the saddle and went that way. And so the pedals would keep going around, but your hands were, your feet were up by the handlebars.
And he had a way of locking up and dismounting forward?
Yeah, what he would do is he would push on the brake really hard, and then the front wheel would lock up, and then he would come off the front of the bike. And then he would be just on his two feet, just standing in front of the bike when he was done.
Well, it's a wonderful read, and it's history, but it reads like fiction, the two-wheeled world of George B. Thayer. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. We love the book and look forward to your next effort out there.
Great. Thank you very much.
17 minutes to go before the top of the hour, and it really is, and it's a... Yeah.